From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, February 7th, 2019. And on this day, more trouble for Central Maine Power, and we will look at why Governor Janet Mills' budget is such a big deal. That's ahead in a moment. Democratic Governor Janet Mills will present her two-year budget plan tomorrow. It's a proposal that is expected to have wide-ranging implications for Mainers, the Democratic-controlled legislature, and the governor herself. Chief political correspondent Steve Missler's here to talk about some of the initiatives we can expect and why the budget will generate so much scrutiny in the months ahead. Steve, before we get to the actual proposals that might be in the spending plan, can you first talk about why the budget is such a big deal?
Sure. I mean, almost anything of consequence that touches Mainers' lives is in the budget. And those things usually come with a price tag. So let's say you have children who attend public schools. The amount of state support for their education is in the budget. If you're a person who qualifies for health care through MaineCare, which is the state's version of the Medicaid program, your ability to receive that care is controlled through the budget because while the bulk of the program is federally funded, the state kicks in a significant share. The same goes for other benefit programs for low-income people. The budget also controls how much money goes to support roads and bridges, how much we pay for state law enforcement, our court system, our jails and prisons, you name it. And tax increases or cuts are usually in the budget. And even the subsidy that we here at Maine Public get from the state is actually a budget initiative. So you can kind of get the idea. It's also important to note that Maine is one of the majority of states that requires the legislature to pass a balanced budget. In other words, we can't deficit spend here like the federal government can do. Although it's worth noting that there have been many state budgets in the past that have used gimmicks to include spending initiatives that aren't necessarily paid for.
And there are political implications for the budget as well, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So most of the budget, roughly 75% of it, is relatively standard fare and uncontroversial. That's because most of it is spending that just sort of chugs along year to year without much change because it's essential to government operations. But the rest of it is effectively a political document that reveals the governor's policy priorities. And that can be controversial. If you recall, more recent budgets under Governor Paula Page were the vehicles for some of his most ambitious initiatives, like slashing the income tax or funding for services like MaineCare. And they led to some of the biggest fights in Augusta, not just with Democrats, but also Republicans. And those fights over the budget are why we had a government shutdown just 2 years ago. Mills faces a different challenge. I mean, she benefits from having Democrats in control of the legislature, but she's also made it clear during her campaign that she won't raise taxes. Well, there's a lot of big initiatives that Democrats in the legislature want that will be difficult to pay for without increasing taxes in some way, whether that's funding 55% of local education spending or increasing the state's aid to cities and towns to previous funding levels. Those two things alone could cost over $500 million. So that's going to be the fundamental tension right there. Mills's pledge not to raise taxes and what's often described in the state house as pent-up demand by Democrats. I mean, they've been relatively in the wilderness over the past 8 years, but they now control state government. And Republicans are watching. I mean, I was talking to one GOP leader just today who told me that he is a thermometer-like chart in his office that he's using to track spending increases, and he's just waiting, as he put it, for the spending requests to blow the top off. Now, of course, it's worth noting that spending increased under LePage, but that will be quickly forgotten if Mills' plan contains a lot of extravagant initiatives, and I honestly don't expect that it will.
Now, I notice you keep describing Mills' budget as a plan or a proposal. How come?
Right. Well, that's because the governor is required to introduce a two-year spending plan. But at the end of the day, the legislature is responsible for passing it, and that means there will likely be significant changes to whatever she rolls out on Friday. Now, that's not to say that the governor will be out of the picture once she puts her proposal forward. Her administration will be a key part of those negotiations that take place over the coming months. And those negotiations are always interesting because there's a lot of political transactions that can really manifest themselves. And of course, the result of those transactions can have a profound effect on Mainers, especially those whose lives intersect with the government.
Well, so far it's been pretty low-key in Augusta since Mills took office last month, and it sounds like that could change in a big way tomorrow. Steve Missler is our chief political correspondent in Augusta. Thanks a lot, Steve.
You're welcome, Nora.
Yesterday, Central Maine Power Company took a public drubbing at the hands of state regulators upset over botched billing practices. Now it has a new customer service snafu on its hands. The company recently told 62,000 residential customers they'd get a bill credit, but as Fred Bever reports, they won't.
This error began with an adjustment CMP needed to make for over-collecting money that large industrial energy users pay for electricity. That overcollection was essentially the result of prepayments the companies made based on a formula set by regulators that overestimated what they owed. In time, the overage rose above $3 million. Last year, CMP won permission from state regulators to pay that overage back to the industrial customers via a January bill credit. The initial bills sent to those industrial customers included a message notifying them of the refund. The problem is, CMP included the same refund message at the bottom of bills that were sent to some 62,000 residential customers, customers who do not have such a credit coming.
We were told by Central Maine Power that this was a mistake and that message should have only been sent to 122 large CMP customers.
Harry Lanfear is spokesman for the Maine Public Utilities Commission. He says the company formally notified the commission of the error on January 31st. He adds that while the commission in a letter this week threatened sanctions against CMP for other billing issues,
we're not finished looking into this issue, so it's hard to comment on exactly what steps we might take, but certainly the letter we sent the other day is directly related to the billing system and our concerns.
It was an individual employee who simply made a mistake.
CMP spokeswoman Catherine Hartnett says bills were sent out for 2 days before CMP caught the error. She notes that no one actually received an undue refund, so the company won't have to try to recover credits that customers didn't deserve. And she emphasizes that it was human error, not the company's much-maligned new SmartCare billing system, at fault.
Mistakes do happen, but there certainly should be oversight to make sure that they don't as much as possible. And so we are definitely taking a look at where that could have gone wrong and how that could have been prevented.
The Public Utilities Commission has two separate proceedings open to investigate CMP's billing issues, most of which cropped up after it launched the new billing system in late 2017. One group of fed-up customers has taken the company to court over what they say are overcharges. Meanwhile, thousands of customers haven't been properly entered into CMP's billing system and are not receiving bills or are getting bills without charges, even though they have been using electricity. And the issues resonate beyond the customers themselves. Vaughn Woodruff, who founded InSource Renewables, a solar panel installation company, says he and company staff are burning precious business hours running interference for customers.
Rather than leave our customers at the whim of having to deal with the chaos of CMP's customer service at this point, you know, we end up being the intermediary in that.
Woodruff says frontline CMP staff are hardworking and competent, but he believes early retirements CMP incentivized near the time the new billing system went live have been a factor in its struggles. CMP's Hartnett says the company has added staff throughout its operations since then and is making substantial headway clearing up the billing backlog. She adds that the 62,000 customers who received the mistaken refund message will get a note in their next bills telling them that it's not the case. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, February 7th, 2019. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.